Good morning to everybody. Appreciate it. This morning I would like to start a new series of three shirim, which deals with the halakhic and hashkafic aspects of our relationship with animals. We share this planet with many, many millions of different species, and the Torah has a lot to say about our relationship with them, and I'd like to divide that into three different shirim. Today I'd like to talk about vegetarianism. This is a topic which is closer to our family than it used to be, because my new son-in-law is a strict vegetarian for all sorts of reasons, and this is now causing a changing of recipes and great gnashing of teeth and such like. Next week I'd like to speak about shechita and tzar bali chayim, and issues to do with causing pain to animals and raising animals, etc. And in the last of the series, in 2 weeks from now, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'd like to speak about halachic issues dealing with pets, of which there are many, many, many issues. Many people have pets, people have always had pets, therefore I'd like to speak about that over this week, next week, and the week after. But today we're looking at vegetarianism. Now, there are many people in the world who justify not eating meat, and sometimes they raise the following ethical questions, and I've listed them here. I'm not going to answer all of these questions today, but we'll deal with some of them. First of all, is there anything morally wrong per se in killing animals for our own use? Does our species, some people ask, have the right to kill, quote-unquote, other animals? Many people in this world feel that we're animals and other animals are also just other animals for personal gain. Rabbi Kiva Tatz once told me that he was on a plane and he got his kosher meal, and the lady next to him was Jewish and didn't get a meal. She didn't get a meal. She wasn't asking for a kosher meal. She didn't specifically eat kosher, but she didn't get a meal for whatever reason. So he offered her some of his meal, and she looked at it in horror, and she said, "I'm vegetarian." She goes, "Okay." She goes, "I don't eat other animals." So he said to her, "That's interesting, because other animals eat other animals. So it's interesting that if you're an animal and you don't eat other animals, why do other animals eat?" So he had a whole discussion with her about this. So it's a question that is raised. Are we just other animals? And if that's the case, do we have the right to use them, to hunt them in different ways? What about using them for medicinal purposes? What about using them for experimentation? To develop medicines for ourselves, where are the lines that we draw? So that's one question. Other people say, look, slaughtering animals is violent. There's no question that it is violent. Does it inflict pain, distress to animals? Is it cruel? Is it inhumane? How does that work? A third answer, which we'll deal with next week, is even if you say that killing animals is not ethically wrong per se, what about the way that we raise animals? In battery farms for chickens, and in certain situations where calves are force-fed. There are people who won't eat veal because they say the calves are treated in certain ways. Pâté de foie gras has always been a hot-button issue as to whether you can eat it, you can't eat it. In certain parts of the world, this is a delicacy. So that's a question we need to have a look at. Others say, well, it's just a simple health issue. Meat is just not healthy. It's packed with antibiotics. It's packed with hormones. There are many other healthier diets that a person should eat. Are there halachic grounds to say, let's be vegetarians because it's a healthier way to live our lives? And how does that work? We'll talk a bit about that today. Some argue that raising animals is very bad for the environment. The carbon footprint for raising animals and feeding animals is much higher, they argue, at a local and global level than their vegetarian diet. And then there are specifically Jewish issues, some of which we'll deal with today. Was Adam HaRishon designed to be a vegetarian? Are we meant to be vegetarians? Are we created to be vegetarians? We'll talk about that. Are you very clear about this? No. I'm getting a very clear no from over there. Let's not prejudge the issue, shall we? And then there is an issue of the issue of shechita, which is it just safer from a halachic perspective to be a vegetarian? Is it a good chumrah to say, look, you know, what can go wrong with a piece of lettuce? Well, actually, more than you think sometimes. But there's a lot less that can go wrong with a piece of lettuce and a tomato than can go wrong with a piece of meat. And therefore, there are those that might want to recommend being vegetarian for that purpose. And we'll see some of those issues today. We're mostly looking at hashkafa, but at the end, we'll have a look at some halakhic issues, such as, if you wish to be vegetarian, what does that do for only Shabbos? Is there a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos? Is there a mitzvah to eat meat on Yom Tov? And one day when we get korbanos, how is that going to be with the vegetarians? Are they going to turn around and say, I only eat vegetarian korbanos, of which, by the way, there were many? But is that a legitimate approach? Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Correct. How will it help world hunger?
Because if we only eat vegetables, the amount of vegetables it takes for a portion of meat could feed five people.
That's true, but the real reason that there's world hunger is that we don't share the food around. Even if we eat meat, there's enough food to go around the whole world. It's just that we have policies and politics that mean that we don't end up sharing the meat around. I understand that, but I'm not sure that not eating meat is actually going to feed anyone who's hungry. I understand the position. But you could say, look, it's a protest. Just like you might argue, is not eating meat going to change the way that they raise chickens? Well, if enough people do that, maybe it will. But I'm sure that feeding the hungry is based on other issues as well. The Rambam, by the way, you should know, in Hilchot Mashiach, we talked about this when we did Mashiach, says that when Mashiach comes, there'll be no hunger in the world. And there'll be no miracles in the world. And therefore, Rambam is clearly saying that the only reason that there is hunger in the world today is because we allow there to be hunger in the world. You don't need a miracle to stop hunger in the world, and that's something to think about. Fine, let's have a look at some of these makaras and see where we get. Number one, let's start at the beginning. Mankind was created, and it says, it talks about his diet. Number one, Vayomer Elokim, Hinei Nasati Lachem et Kol Eitzev Zareya Zar. I have given you, says God to Adam and Chava, I've given you all of this food to eat, the Zareya Zara, all the grass, all this vegetation. Ashel Pnei Kol Aretz, it's all over the world, he says. There's kol eitz, and I've given you every tree, asher bo pri eitz zoreya zara, and I've given you all these trees which produce fruit. Lachem yiyeh la'ochla. This is all for you to eat. Vegetables and fruit. Ulachol chayas haaretz, and all the animals on the world. Ulachol oif ha'shamayim, and all the birds in the heavens. Ulachol aromet al haaretz, and everything that creeps around in the animal kingdom. Asher bo nefesh chaya, anything that has the life within it. Et kol yerek etzev la'ochla v'yichem. I've given them yerek. So what was the specified diet for everybody? Mankind gets zera, which are seeds, which are crops, wheat, grain, corn, etc. And he gets fruit. And the animals get vegetables. That seems to be the way it started. But clearly after the mabul, everything changed. Have a look at number two. Kol remes asher hu chai. Anything that crawls on the ground, God says to Noach, Lachem yiyeh la'ochla. You can eat anything that moves from now on. Ki yerek esev natati lachem et hakol. I've given you, just like vegetables, everything's now on the menu. So all of a sudden, after the mabul, everything becomes edible. Interestingly, once we get to Sinai and receive the Torah, the Jews become substantially vegetarian once again. You might not think that if you've got a papagayo for a meal, but in practical terms, of all the species that were now permitted to Noah, how many of them are left permitted to Jewish people in terms of kashrus? Very, very few. 99.9% of species in the world, animal kingdom species, are off the menu now for Jews. But that doesn't mean we end up being full vegetarians, as you may have noticed. But nevertheless, Noah is allowed to eat all of that, everything that walks. And the Gemara picks up on this in number three and says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Adam Harishon Loi Huta Loi Basal Achila. Adam was not allowed to eat meat. We'll nuance that in a little bit. V'chsev as it says, Lachem yiyeh la'ochla u'lachol chayas ha'aretz. The loy chayas ha'aretz lachem. You are not allowed to eat the chayas. The chayas can eat the fruit, but you can't eat the chayas. U'kashibau b'nei Noach hitir lahem. Only when Noach and the b'nei Noach came, then they were allowed to eat meat. Sh'ne'emar ki yerek esev natati lachem et kol. Why? It doesn't say why. We are going to look at why. But it seems very clear from Chazal that originally Adam was allowed to eat only vegetables and fruit, and Noach then was allowed to eat meat. Chazal picked that up. Actually, the change was not really at Noach. It was after the Chet, and the Midrash makes that clear in number four. Hutra basar taiva la Noach. This expression we'll see many times today. Basar taiva. What's taiva? Whatever it is, it's not good. Okay? Lust. The need, that kind of thing. Basar taiva is what we call the meat that we eat today. It's what the Torah calls the meat that we eat today, as opposed to basar kodshim, which is korbanos, which has a whole different status. Hutra basar taiva lenoach. Noach was allowed to eat this ordinary meat. Why? Lefisha hikrit korban. Because he is the first one that we see bringing a korban. Wow, we see Cain v'Havel brought korbanos. We'll talk about them in a minute. Their korbanos didn't go too well. And after all, everything's going to die anyway. Everything is now mortal. Aval Adam, but for Adam Arishan, loy huter, he wasn't allowed to eat all of this stuff. Why? Because everything was meant to be living forever. Ad shechata, only after Adam did the chet, the nigzera al kol bria lamavet or lamut, every bria, every animal in the world was now destined to die. It's interesting, it sounds from this midrash, whatever this means midrashically, that the whole world was meant to be immortal at the very beginning, whatever that means. Only after the chet, everything now is doomed to die, and therefore everything should be now on the menu. However, why wasn't Adam Arishan given the right to eat meat immediately, says the Medrash? Lama lo yehuta la Adam le'echol basar. He's the one that did the chet. He shouldn't benefit from the chet. Meaning, he messed everything up. It's not fair that he now gets a full menu that he didn't have before. Noach, he deserves it. Why? We'll see in a minute. Noach did stuff in order to rectify the chet to some degree. But nevertheless, it seems that that menu change happened. Therefore, it seems from Chazal, from the Psukim, at least on the Pshat level, that Adam was only allowed to eat vegetables and fruit and the animals too, and only Noah was allowed to eat meat. There is, however, a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban and Tosfos on what exactly this means from the Psukim. Rashi quite famously understands that man and animals are on the same level at the beginning in terms of menu. See number five. Says Rashi, Hishvalahem akotsav behemus v'chayas lemachal. Everything is now equalized in terms of food. No one was allowed to kill anything. But Adam and Chava were not allowed to kill anything. Or to eat meat. They could all eat vegetables together. All the animals, Adam and Chava, people and animals, all eating vegetables together. And only when Noah came, then they were allowed to eat meat. It says, Remis Asher Huchai, Ki Yerik Esev Shehitarti La Adam Arishan, Natati Lechem Et Kol. Fine. Rashi understands we're all on the same playing field, and only after the flood, we were allowed to eat meat. The Ramban says no, not quite. There was a difference, and we'll see this is very important. What is the difference between people and animals is actually one of the key issues being discussed here. Rashi seems to say in terms of diet, everybody's the same at the beginning. But look at the Ramban. Says the Ramban in number 6. Aval, Natan la Adam ul ishto kol etev zorea zera. They were allowed to eat grain, the kol priates, and fruit. The law has written. Animals were not allowed to eat anything but vegetables, it says. Read the pasuk carefully. They weren't the same. People had vegetables and grain and fruit, whereas animals had vegetables only. He disagrees with Rashi. From the very beginning, man and animal were never meant to be the same. Everybody agrees meat was only when Noah came. This is a pshat, not like Rashi says. And why is this? Now he gives some reasons. Because animals, they have a certain nefesh. Animals have a certain maila, not like people, but they're not like plants. They have a certain similarity to intellectual beings, i.e. people. Yesh lehem b'chira, animals have choices. B'tovatam, in what's good for them. B'mezonehem, in their food. B'yibrachu min hatzara, they run away from pain, the hamisa, or from death. You see, anyone who's interacted with an animal, animals have emotions. So it seems, they cry, they're happy, they're sad. Animals aren't people, but they're not plants. People react very differently to a dead animal than to a dead piece of lettuce. Okay? The hakos of oimen, mi yodeh ruach bnei adam ha'oile, hi lamala, v'ruach behema, are you ready to hi lamata? It says in Kohelet, who knows, just when, from death alone, whether people go to Shemaim and animals don't go to Shemaim, and we do know because there's a neshama, but just on the surface, an animal and a human, says the Ramban, seems very similar. Ukar she'e chato, when Adam did the chet, the hishchit kobasa, said darchu kalaret, not just that, but all the people did the chet. So in the time of Noach, the Dor HaMabul did the chet, the chataim, the nikshishel mutu b'mabul, and the din was that they should all die, all together in the flood. Ubavur Noach, only because of Noach, hitzil mehem l'kiyum hamin. Noach saved the world. Noach saved the world, therefore Natan Lahem Rishut Lishchot Ulecha. Because he saved the world, he was given Rishut over the world, Ba'alut over the world, possession over the world, and therefore the ability to eat. Ki Kiyumam Ba'avuro, because they only survived because of Noach. The Imkol Zen, nevertheless, Lo Natan Lahem Rishut B'Nefesh, they weren't able to take the life force from the animal. Asa Lahem Evi Minachai, they're not allowed to eat Evi Minachai. V'hoisiv Lanu B'mitzvah Lasu Kol Adam, and we similarly are not allowed to eat dam, the blood of the animal, Mipnei Shehu Ma'amad L'Nefesh. Therefore, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, very interesting, A, we were always higher than animals, number one, but animals are definitely higher than plants. They have certain qualities which are very similar in certain ways, choices that they make within their own limits, and therefore we were certainly not allowed to eat them, only afterwards, because of Noach, because Noach was given, if you like, the reshus over the animals, because of what he did, we were given the ability to eat animals at that stage. So it seems to be a game because of Noach. Tosfos, interestingly, says we weren't allowed to kill animals, but we were always allowed to eat meat. For those of you who don't like the idea that we were always vegetarians, this Tosfos is for you. Look in number 7. Tosfos says, when it says in the Gemara Adam Harishin that Adam and Chava weren't allowed to eat meat, Hainu, what does that mean? Lahamit, we weren't allowed to kill animals. As the Rambam said, why should you kill an animal? Animals have certain key qualities of nefesh. We weren't allowed to kill animals, Lechel. Aval Mesa Me'alea, but if an animal dropped dead by itself, sorry, that was fine. So Adam and Chava could eat meat, but just couldn't kill animals for meat. They weren't allowed to eat.
Yes. How did Noah know that offering
the
sacrifice would be pleasing to Hashem?
Good. How did anyone know anything at that stage? Good. How did Avram know? Lech Lecha.
How did Noah know?
How did Noah know? So he worked it out for himself. God never says to Noah, bring a sacrifice. God says to him, take 2 of each animal and 7 of the following animals. And Noah worked out from that, that this is what's being told to him. He has to use these animals in a certain way. Okay, fine. So it's interesting. Noah is clearly praised for having used his seichel and gone a little bit further than people had gone before him. And we'll see, Cain and Hevel are the ones to blame in many ways for what's going on here. That's why it says Chazal have this interesting statement. They say, Noah knew the Torah. What does that mean, Noah knew the Torah? Because he knew, he says, which animals are Tahor, which animals are Tameh. He knew that opens up an entire discussion, which is not for now. When it says that the Avos knew anything in terms of Torah, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they sat and learned Mishnah Berurah. Okay? It means that they were somehow tuned in, and there's an entire discussion in the sources of what that means that they were tuned in. Did they keep all the mitzvahs? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It says at the end of Kiddushin, Avram kept the whole Torah. Yitzchak, Yaakov, did they keep the whole Torah? Yaakov married 2 sisters. How does that work? He puts up matzavas all over the place. There are clear things that indicate that they didn't keep the whole Torah. Did they only keep the positive mitzvahs? The Maharal says not the negative mitzvahs. What about Amram? He married his aunt. That's not allowed. There's an enormous amount of discussion about that issue. Noach, etc., etc. So let's have a look now at why exactly Noach. Yes, sir.
Correct me if I'm wrong, if I hear you right.
Yes.
Correct,
it seems that way.
Time of Noach, is that right?
We'll see, the Malvin says that before us.
Yes,
and again, I don't think we're looking at a historical discussion here. I think we're looking at a religious discussion, the way we relate to the animals and the way we think the animals should relate to each other.
Yes,
you're correct. You're absolutely right.
Animals that are designed by
Good, to eat meat. Good, we'll get to that. Ralph Cook is going to talk about that. Fine. Correct. We'll look. Rav Cook. Rav Cook will look at it. Rav Cook will take that. Well, don't worry. Hold that question. It's a good question. Let's have a look at why meat was permitted after the flood. Says the Sifrei Chachamim, an interesting point. What did we achieve after the flood? Apart from the fact that Noach saved the world, we saw that in the Ramban already. Says the Sifrei Chachamim an interesting thing. Number 8. Why did Noach get meat more than Adam got meat? He's picking up on Rashi, which the Ramban disagreed with, but Rashi said, really, what was the difference between mankind and animals? He says, there wasn't much. They were really all animals on the same level, on certain level. They were all made from the ground, before Adam and the animals. One has no real advantage, that's a good word, over the other. Why would a man kill an animal? Now, he's not saying this is a good thing, but he's saying this is why it was. Why would you kill an animal if basically you were all on the same level? Aval bizman amabul, but after the flood, shechatu kulam, that everybody basically, the mankind and the animals, all went nuts, they all completely lost it. Vahaya ro'oishi abdu kulam, and they were all therefore guilty and ready to be destroyed. Noach raised himself above the level of the animals by doing something which was not animalistic, which was saving the world. And that's the whole idea of the Midrashim, that on the Teva they weren't allowed to be animalistic, they weren't allowed to indulge in sexual relations. It's all given. I'll come to you a second. Ubezeh hayalo yiteron al balechayim. Only after the flood was Noach a real person. Interesting, as a perspective. You're troubled by this. He said it. Okay. Correct. Well, the mitzvah he was given was pru revu, which the animals were given in the same way. He was told not to eat from this fruit. Okay, I hear that. It's a very interesting sifrei chachamim. But he basically is saying on a certain level, mankind and animals were very similar. We will see in a minute in Rav Yosef Albo that this was what was going on between Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel were having a disagreement on this very point. After your question at the beginning that mankind was made from the dust, gathering the dust together of the ground, look at the Sforno there, on that pasuk where it says that God said, let us make man, nase adam b'talmeinu, okay? And he gathers together the dust, afar min ha'adama. The Sforno says he took an animal which existed already in the world. That's what it means, afar min ha'adama, an animal that the land had created. Because don't forget, God doesn't create the animals. In the story of creation, God says to the ground, you create the animals, and to the sea, you create the sea creatures. God took an animal, says the Sforno, from the ground that the ground had created, and then put a neshama into that animal and said, that animal is now going to be upgraded into a human being. Which is interesting. So if you look at the Sforno there on that passage, as to how man was created, he doesn't understand that man was totally different to the animals. He was an animal who was upgraded from animal to human status. However, on a certain level, says the Sforno, until Noah, they were all very similar. And the Malbim picks up on the same point. Look over the page on page 3. Let's move on a little. Says the Malbim, Kol Malbim, two suggestions from the Malbim. Kol remes asher hu chai lahem yielech ochla. You can eat anything you like, Hashem says to Noach. Ki b'yemei Adam, hayagufois b'nei Adam chazakim. In the days of Adam Arishon, people had strong bodies. The haperus loy nishchatu adayin. And the fruit had not yet been afflicted in the same way. The hayu mechalkelim et bnei Adam, the fruit was enough to give people everything they needed. Kamo abasa, you didn't need meat. Fruit was sufficient. Aval ha'achra amado shenitzkaku l'amazonos. Only after the flood did everything become on a lesser level. V'ha'adam huchan shi'ishpashet v'kvat se'aretz. And mankind now had to spread around the world. He couldn't just live in the Middle East. He was going to spread all over the place. V'iyim ruchokim to the far furthest islands, to England. Yeah? It doesn't say England explicitly, but that's the furthest island. Shemehad nase kor, because it's so cold there. That's for sure England. Okay, v'chol, and he had the hottest of places, v'tzarek le'basala ha'madriyota. You need meat. You can't survive in fruit if you live in Scotland. You need meat. V'gam achas shechayu kulam al yidei Noach, and after all, everybody survived because of Noach, he says, shenis parnasim b'teva, that he gave them all, he sustained them all on the teva. As the Ramban said, they were now like his property. And this is the point I want to bring out. He picks up on this Sifrei Chachamim and says that until the flood, mankind wasn't on a level of a medaber. What does that mean? Mankind was not on a level of a medaber. Rak b'madregat chai. Adam and Chava, says the Malbim, were only on a level of a chai, not a medaber. V'lo huter lo rak hatzomeach, and therefore they were only allowed to eat vegetation. V'lo yahaya hevdo beino o bein hachai. There was no real difference between mankind and animals. Rak shele bnei shebalechayim nitan yerek esev la'achla, except as the Ramban says, the animals got vegetables. Ula adam nitan esev zorei zera, and the mankind got grain, shehem peiros, and fruit. V'ata hale ha'adam agreiz medaber, and now after Noach, mankind goes up to a level of a medaber. Because you have to say from the Sifrei Chachamim, he now did this mitzvah of saving the world. And just like there's no, it's not bad if an animal eats a plant, because it's elevated through this. We'll see this in a minute in more explicit terms. The plant becomes an animal when the animal eats the plant, so it goes up a level. Cain, ain avil, so too, there's no nothing wrong. If a speaking human being were to eat an animal, when you eat an animal, the animal becomes you, and therefore you've given the animal an upgrade, and that's why Noah was allowed to eat animals, because before Noah, he was just like animals eating animals. Well, why would you do that? But after Noah, it's a human eating an animal, and you upgrade the animal, which is actually fascinating, because the Kli Yakar, just look in number 11 for a second, picks up on this point and says it in very explicit terms. Masha loy hitir achilat basal Adam. The reason that Adam was not allowed to eat meat. The fishakol am haaretz asur leechol basar. Now that's a statement in Chulin, which in Psachim, excuse me, which is talking about shchita. If you're an am haaretz, you better be a vegetarian, like we said before, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're safer eating sushi. That's a good slogan. You're safer with sushi. Okay? Aval Noach, she'asak b'Torah, which is the point we said before, but Noach who learned Torah, whatever that means, within the limits of before Sinai, not now, hutrulai, he was allowed, he wasn't an Amaretz. Adam and Chava, they were Amaratzim. Noach, he was a Talmud Chacham. The Hamaforshim nitnu tam nadava. And the Meforshim explained, don't forget the Kli Yachas before the Malbim. Shekol nivra nizun mima shetachtav. Everything in creation is sustained from one level below it. Look what he says, very interesting. Ki adomem, inanimate matter, hu ha-pachut nekol ha-nimtzayim. This is the least of all creations. Nizun me'atmuto. Stones grow from growing more stone, as it were, not growing stone, but inorganic matter basically just accretes itself from its own self. Hatsomeach, plants, nidon min hadomem. Plants live off minerals, which is the level below them. Ki yenikato min haaretz, because they are sustained from the land. V'chol bal chai nidon min hatsomeach. Animals live off plants. V'ha'adam min hamadaber, and Adam, who is the speaking being, who is the highest, Nizon min balechayim. He is allowed then to sustain himself from animals. The hani mili kushehu asuk b'Torah. But that's only when man is really man. If mankind is living up to his task of mankind, they can eat animals. Or b'shlei musa. Asher alav hu nikra adam, and then he's called a man. Kizula zek, because if man is not really man, if man is really an animal, hu nimshak behemoth nidma, he's really just like a behemoth. Lama yochel et ben gilo. Why would he eat his fellow animal? The woman on the plane is right. Says the Kli Yakar. If you really act like an animal, taka, why would you eat another animal? Why would animals eat other animals? Umashlemus itoisif leben gilu kashiachleno. The kikol mazon mitapech la teva hanizon. Because when you eat something, it turns into you. The ha'adam and a person, kashiachel min balechai, when they eat an animal, mitoisif shlemus elachai, they give certain elevation to the animal, lebam madregus min hamadaba, and they turn it into a person. About Adam, but a person, Hanim Shalom Behema, who is really an animal, Mayiten, what can he give to the animal? May Yosef Linechol. Why does a chicken just want to be another animal? A chicken wants to be a person. So you eat a chicken for Shabbos, so it becomes a person. That chicken is now you. He's saying this quite seriously. That chicken is upgraded on a certain level into being a human being. But if you're just an animal, what does that achieve? Ubederech Zen, he gives a nice chat. That's what it means when it says, V'achalta et kol ha'amim. It says there in Dvarim, when you conquer Canaan, v'achalta et kol ha'amim. You will eat all the people. Now, on a pshat level, of course, this means that you'll conquer them. Obviously, no one's going to be a cannibal. But he says, no, v'achalta et kol ha'amim means, and ki lachmenuhin, they are our bread, ki atem kuri adam v'loi ha'amot, means that you take the non-Jewish nations and you upgrade them by connecting with them. Actually, it's a very beautiful idea. The achalta et kol ha'amim means you take them and you give them something more than they already have and you make them part of you, which is actually a very beautiful idea. And he says, therefore, yes, if you're an animal, why would you eat other animals? Let's just look for a second. I've given you a long piece. I'm not going to read all of it, but it's absolutely fascinating from the Rav Yosef Alba. From the Sefer HaIkrim. I translated it into English. It's a long, long piece, 12, source number 12. But let's just pull a little bit from it. He has a few questions here. It is appropriate for us to explain the reason for this change, whereby what was forbidden to Adam became permitted to Noah. What was permitted to Noah again became in part forbidden to the Jewish people. In order to explain this well, we must ask, what was the sin of Cain when he brought an offering to God from the fruits of the earth, and God did not favor him or his offering? Is it because he didn't bring the choicest sheep and rams like his brother Abel? What sin is there if he works on the land and succeeds in bringing an offering from its fruits to God to give thanks to him for all that he gives to us? Why did God not accept him or his offering? Cain was a farmer. He wasn't a shepherd. So he brings from his own work. Why is he criticized for that? Is it not reasonable that someone who receives a gift from someone else who gives him food and drink should repay him in similar vein to the gift he received? He should not be obligated or obliged to thank him by giving him clothing and making him rich. Surely not. The thanks should be commensurate with what was received. Now, go down a couple of next paragraph. And if it was because he didn't bring from the fruits of the trees, but rather the produce of the ground, meaning, okay, Cain, he could have brought a nice to Korban. He could have brought some pomegranates. Instead, he brought some nebuch, a little bit of flax. This shouldn't warrant such a punishment. One can ask, given that God accepted the offering of Havel, why was he killed? Is there no angel of God that protects those who fear him and save them from death? And then why did it say of Sheth later that he was born in the image of Adam, yet it doesn't say this about Havel, whose offering God accepted? And therefore he wants to connect all this together with a beautiful thesis. He says the following. The explanation for all of this, in my view, is as follows. When dealing with the killing of animals, quite apart from the fierce cruelty, violent anger, and adoption of bad character of the person due to needless spilling of blood, meaning when you kill things, it makes you violent. That's not good. The eating of animals introduces into a person something of the base animalism and the stifling of the moral spirit. Interestingly, he's not going to say this here, but the only animals that we're allowed to eat are animals that don't themselves eat other animals. A pure vegetarian animal. Because there's an idea that the more animalistic stuff you put inside yourself, the more it makes you. As such, even though the meat of some animals produces good nutrition for the person, God wanted to withhold from us the slight benefit in eating meat on account of the significant evil and damage that it can cause. He's a bit down on meat eating here. He therefore prohibited meat to Adam, and he compensated for what was lacking in suitable nutrition by making specially for Adam very nutritious plants. By the way, the Malbin that we didn't do in the middle there, I'm not going back to it now, he says that in societies which are vegetarian, he quotes Indian society there, and South Asia, he says they have plants that are much more nutritious and can compensate for the lack of meat. But societies which tend to live in Northern Europe, there's nebuch, you know, what kind of plants grow there? You're going to have, how can you get on potatoes and parsnips? So, you know, he said they have to eat meat. So, therefore, Adam originally had nutritious plants. Next paragraph. When Cain and Hevel were born, and they saw their father working on the land to sow wheat and barley to be sustained from the land, each one thought in a different way. Here's the key. And each one's thought became apparent from their actions. Cain took to working on the land because he thought there was no difference between man and animals. And we can see why he thought that from what we've seen so far. So if a man has knowledge to be able to work the land and produce the crops, when he saw man living off plants like the other animals, he felt there was one life spirit common to both. Just like one dies, so the other one dies. We saw that in the Ramban. Thus he brought the fruits of the land to praise God for the advantages given to man of a simple plant life. He did not bring an animal, since he did not consider the advantages he had over animals in working the land to be significant enough to be worth of a sacrifice. Since he did not bring from the choice fruits, but only from the fruits of the ground, he sinned. But the real sin was in the fact that he did not consider man to be superior to animals. And this is the point that he was making over there. At the end of the day, this is not correct. Even though you might make that mistake from Adam and the animals, Cain was wrong. Man and animals are not the same. He even considered it prohibited to kill animals, since they were on the same levels as human in his view. And the death of one was equivalent to the death of the other. He rather felt that his real purpose was simply to eat and drink, since he was sustained by plants just like the animals. And he goes on to explain, I haven't got time to read it all, you can read it later, Cain's mistake is he said that we, humans and animals, are the same. Therefore, of course you can't kill animals, because you can't kill people, right? So he doesn't kill an animal. Oh, but then Hevel, who says, people and animals are basically the same, but we're allowed to bring a korban. Hevel goes and kills an animal. So Cain says, you can kill animals? And God likes that? Well, since animals and people are the same, because he knows that they're the same, and I thought you couldn't kill an animal because you couldn't kill a person, now I see that you can kill an animal. You can kill a person. And he kills his brother. That's That's Rav Yosef Albo's thesis. That ultimately, Cain's mistake, his sin was, he just couldn't get it in his head that animals and people are different. They are different. And what's good for one is not good for the other. Hevel was a little bit better, but not much better. He basically felt the same thing, but said you can bring a korban. And therefore God says to Cain, says to the generation of Noach, you know something? You've got to get this right. By the generation of Noach, everybody was killing everybody. Why? Because if man and animals are all the same and now everyone's killing anyone, so there is no difference. And by the way, you now understand when the Chazal was saying that mankind was sleeping with the animals, was having sexual relations with the animals, that's part of the same idea. If we're all the same, then we're all the same. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Noach, you know something? Better you should kill the animals and sleep with the people. Okay? That's better. So at least you can do that. Because if you don't do that, then you just get completely confused and you'll treat everybody the same. And we see in our own times that this is a confusion, that this is hard for some people to get clarity on. There are people who are prepared to kill people in order to save animals. We see this. There was this dreadful advertising campaign by PETA, a few years ago, in 2003. It's almost too offensive to mention, but they called it Holocaust on a Plate. And they had pictures of people from the Shoah next to people, pictures of animals being given to this slaughter. It says, just like you don't accept this, why do you accept this? They make that equivalence. And they got it obviously into a lot of controversy over it, but that's what they wanted, because they wanted the publicity over it. Clearly, this equation of people and animals, which was in Cain, has not yet been resolved. Yes. No, but he now turns around and says that obviously killing is allowed. For any purpose. I can kill you, why? Because it makes me feel better. What's the problem with that? Even if it's not a sacrifice, so he killed. And therefore, we see here something very interesting. That the Rav Yosef Albo is very concerned that people and animals shouldn't be on the same level. And that's very much why we were allowed to eat meat. But in principle, eating meat is not a good thing. It's kind of a temporary dispensation. And even when the Torah is given, by the way, we see this coming out very clearly. Have a look in number 13. Number 13 is a source that people often gloss over when they're reading Parshas Achremos. Because Achremos is so interesting, it's full of the Aaron and the Mikdash, etc. And yet, tucked away there is an interesting pasuk. Number 13. Ish mi Beit Yisrael. Anyone from the Jewish people, asher yishchat shor or keter, if you slaughter an ox, a cow, or a sheep, or aids, or a goat, b'machaneh, or asher yishchat mechutz lemachaneh, if you don't do it in the mikdash, if you kill animals outside the mikdash, and it's not brought as a korban, ve'el petach oel moed lo hevio lahakriv korban l'Hashem, and you don't intend to bring that animal that you just killed as a korban to Hashem, lifnei mishkan Hashem, before the mishkan, dam yechashev le'ishahu. That person who killed an animal, it's spilling blood. Dam shafach. He spilled blood. V'nichlas ha'ishahu mikerev amo. And he's chayv karet. Now, on a halachic level, this turns into a discussion of shchut echut, of shechting animals as korbanos, but outside the mikdash. But on a pshat level, it seems to be saying that if you kill an animal, it's almost like murder, unless you're doing it for a korban. You have to bring an animal for a korban. That's Rabbi Kiva Shita, by the way, that in the Mishkan, in the time of the desert, the only heter, they have to kill an animal to bring as a korban. And if they kill the animal for any other reason, to eat it, that's almost like murder. Have a look in number 14, the Chinuch explains it. Ha'inyan huki, Hashem loy hiti lebnei adam basa balechayim rak lekapara. God only allowed us to use the animals for kapara. Or, as it turned out later, we'll see because of Dvarim Letzorche Bnei Adam, the things that we really need, Kagon Mazon, Rufuah, Kol Davar Sheyesh Shum Tzorech Bnei Adam, Aval Hamitam Midli Shum Toalet. To kill an animal without really needing to kill an animal. Klal Yesh B'davar Hashchat B'Klal, Yesh B'davar Hashchata. That's just called destruction. The Nikra Shofech Dam, says the Chinuch. From this passage, you see, if you kill an animal without a good justification, you're just spilling blood. The afal pisha einu kushvichas dam ha'adam, even though it's called not the same as killing a human being. L'malas ha'adam u pechitut ha'behema, because of the different levels between them, and that we saw. Mikol makom shvichu dam yikra. Therefore, nevertheless, it's called spilling blood. Because the only reason we can kill animals is for a specific need. By the way, you can see now why anyone who's a hunter in the Tanakh is automatically labeled as a Rosh. Esav is a hunter. That's like, a hunter is like, why would you hunt animals? For fun? If he's hunting to eat them, okay, I understand. But for any other reason, not. But Alkein Amosam Shehu Kshvichasam. That's why the pasuk says killing animals is like spilling blood. Achashehu Shoyfet Saman B'Makom Shelo Nitzav L'Shvita. Because he's spilled the blood in a way that he wasn't commanded to do that for no reason. And therefore, it seems that in the Mishkan, at least, animals were just off the menu, unless you brought a korban. If you brought a korban, that's for a higher purpose. Yes. So he says for a tzorech, if you really need a tzorech, then that was allowed. But just to... It's interesting, because if you have an option to eat meat by bringing a korban, you don't need to eat meat without bringing a korban. An animal skin, like, you know, how you need an animal skin. But if you have an option to eat korbanos, why would you eat normal meat? That's what he seems to be saying. It's only later when Dvarim came along, and Dvarim brings up the issue that you won't be able to bring korbanos because you're going to live at the other side of the world. Look at number 15.
And did Noah wear animal skins?
Well, they clearly wore, Adam and Chava were given skins to wear, right? Cotton, not ore.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so clearly wearing animal skins was not itself prohibited.
But they didn't kill the animals.
That's a good question. You don't need to kill an animal to wear the skin. Clearly, there's looking down on killing the animal in that way. But look in Dvarim in number 15. Ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha et gvulecha. If God then expands your boundaries, ka'ashi diberlach, as he's told you he will do. Va'amarta, and he said to you, and he told you he's going to do this, ochla basar, you can eat then meat. Ki tava nafshecha le'chol basar, b'chol avad nafshecha, tochal basar. If you want to, and you're not able to bring korbanos, because you live in Brooklyn, says the pasuk in Dvarim, okay, you can eat meat. But it's called basar taiva. It's called basar taiva, meaning, why do you want, okay, you want it? Should you want it? Probably not. But you want it, and therefore, okay, you can do it. It's a heter. See, number 16, the Gemara picks up on this. It says, ki yarchiv Hashem Elokecha et gvulcha. Lamda Torah derech eretz, shelo yochal adam basar ela l'tayavon. You shouldn't eat meat unless you really need to. Says the Gemara. Leteyavon, because you're hungry, you really have to. Yochel yikach adam min hashuk. Maybe you can just go to the supermarket and go to Rami Levi for yochel and buy meat and eat it. He says no. V'zavachta mi bikarcha o mitzancha. You have to take it from your crops, from your animals. You can't just eat wheat meat without putting the effort in. Yochel yizvach kol bekaroy v'yochel. Maybe you could eat shecht all your animals and eat them. Kol tzanov yochel and all your goats and eat them. No, mi bekarcha, from your animals, v'lo kol bekarcha, mitzoncha, from your sheep, v'lo kol tzoncha. Everything is trying to cut down. Don't eat more than you have to. Don't buy it from the shops and eat it. Go through the effort of shechting your animals, and not all your animals, only some of your animals. And the Rambam actually paskens that you should really not eat meat except on Shabbos. Look at number 17. Talmud Chacham, b'chal kel dvarav b'mishpat. A Talmud Chacham should sustain himself honestly. He should sustain his family and eat according to what he can afford, and according to what success he has in business. He shouldn't feel he needs to make more money than he really needs, because Talmud Chacham has other things to do. He passes this sin of Rebbe Le, of the Gemara in number 16. A person should only eat meat l'teavon. Not more than you have to. Shnei Mar, Kitavad Nashech Lechol Basar. Dayu Lebari. It's enough for a healthy person Lechol Basar Me'erev Shabbos Le'erev Shabbos. From Friday to Friday. You don't need meat. You don't need to eat meat during the week, says the Rambam. Friday to Friday is good enough. Ve'im Haya Asher. If you're super rich, Kidei Lechol Basar B'chol Yom. Okay, Ochel. If you're rich, you can afford it. Okay, eat meat. A person should always eat less than they think they need. Okay? Lefima mona, according to their money. The yilbash karoi, and he's karoi loy, and he should clothe themselves, dress themselves according to their money. Meaning, eat less than you think you need, clothe yourself what you think you need, and give your family more than you think that they need. That was clearly the message that the Rambam was trying to say, and part of this is to eat less meat. And in fact, I brought you a number 18, the Berhetiv, brings down from the Arizal that there were many minhagim. Some people didn't eat meat any Monday or Thursday. They only eat meat other days of the week. And the Arizal brings down that, again, you shouldn't eat meat except on Shabbos. He passes this in the Berhetiv on Shulchan Aruch. But this seems to have fallen away a little bit these days, because I suppose meat has become very cheap. That's the point. Back in the day when they used to have chasnas on Fridays, it's because they only had one cow, and that was the cow that they had. They either had meat for the wedding or meat for Shabbos, but they couldn't have meat for both. So everything seems to point to a fairly negative hashgafic perspective on eating meat. It's very hard to find anything positive at all about eating meat. It sounds like it's almost murder, but not quite murder, and it's only a hefer l'teavon, and we saw that Noach was only allowed it because everyone was going crazy before Noach. Rav Kook picks up on this and says something quite famous and a little bit controversial. What about korbanos? Okay, so we saw already that korbanos are different. The korban is an ideal way to eat meat if you're going to eat meat. So when we daven musaf, we daven for a time and we'll have korbanos again. Even according to the Rambam, who said the korbanos maybe on a hashgafic level were a temporary measure to wean us off from human sacrifice, the Rambam also holds that when Mashiach comes there will be korbanos. He says it explicitly in a number of places. But look at Rav Kook in number 19. He picks up on the last line that we say in Shmona Esrei. When we take three steps back and we say, Shivani Beit HaMikdash Min Hei Revi Ameinu V'Sein Chalkeinu V'Tarasecha, we say, the Arva LaHashem Minchat Yudav Yerushalayim Kimei Olam K'Shen Kimaniyot. The last line of the prayer, the silent prayer that we say when we step back. That we daven that the mincha of Yehuda Yerushalayim should be as pleasing as in the old days. Now what is a mincha? So it's a gift. But there's also a specific korban which is a mincha, which is a vegetarian korban. Look at Rav Kook. Balei chayim, animals, he says, hakreidim mizbech, which are brought on the mizbech, chal bahem atzmam hatikun al yidei ha'alutam liyot zevach l'Hashem. Just like we saw before, by eating your chicken, by the way, especially on Shabbos, whereby eating your meat on Shabbos may elevate the meat even more, because you're eating it l'shem kavod Shabbos. When you bring a korban, you elevate the animal. What more could a cow want in life than being brought as a korban? If you think about what the alternatives are if you're a cow.
Not brought as a korban.
Well, chew grass and keel over one day. That's a cow's life. Okay. Shekevan she'ein behem dat. He says animals don't have dat. Einu magiim lehit alut zo. They can't elevate themselves. They need us. They need our help. We can bring their blood, their chaylev. We can bring them as a korban and elevate them in that way. Because the dam and the chaylev are where the nefesh is. But a human being, we can understand korbanos. We don't need to sacrifice human beings. This is why we don't sacrifice human beings. Because we don't need to. We say to the human beings, you can connect with God through your mind, the animal can't, so you'll sacrifice the animal, but the human will connect in an intellectual way. That's why we don't sacrifice humans. God forbid. Aval, says Rav Kook, la'atin lavo, there will come a time in the future, shefa hadat yitpashet v'yichader afilu b'balechayim. Even the animals will become endowed and imbued with da'at in the future. V'lo yir'u, v'lo yashchitu b'chol ha'har kashi kimala ha'aretz de'ayat Hashem. He quotes the pasuk in Yeshaya. In the future, you won't need to sacrifice animals because they will be able to get there through their own da'at, whatever this means. V'hakrava she'tiyeh az, and the only thing we'll need to bring then is mincha. Vegetarian korbanos, mihat tomeach, tarev, and they will be as pleasing lahashem kimei olam ukushanim kadmanim.
Wow.
Interesting. Now, Rav Kook also davened musaf, and he also said tzmidim kihilchatam tzmidim kisidram tzmidim kihilchatam. But he's clearly saying that there'll come a point in the process of Mashiach when animals are able to raise themselves to that level, and therefore everyone will have to be a vegetarian, even when it comes to korban. You know, you want to know where he gets this from?
No, I'm saying, does this imply that an animal has a nefesh? An animal
certainly has a nefesh, And he says that the net, we saw in the Ramban, the animal can make limited choices. Those choices will increase.
So why would an animal want to reach a higher level?
Well, it's not a question of why would it want to. Once it has the ability to, then we're going to enable it to, rather than just sit and eat it. Was Rav Kook himself a vegetarian? No, he was not. Rav Kook was not a vegetarian. Rav Kook clearly ate meat on Shabbos. And in fact, he was nervous about vegetarianism. Because he said, number one, and I brought you some comments on page 7 as to how Rav Kook dealt with him. He has a whole contrast about vegetarianism, which is Chazon HaSimchanut V'HaShalom, which you can read. I brought you a link in the bottom of the page there, so you can get that online and you can read that. He's concerned about a few things. Number one, we have to prioritize our ethical sensitivities towards human beings first. There's a lot of human suffering going on in the world. That's our first priority before we get to animals, he said. Number two, in Mashiach time, we will have a certain moral sensitivity, and therefore we'll be able to be vegetarians. But actually today there's a problem. Maybe rather than raising animals to the level of people, we will bring people down to the level of animals if we make this equation. And we all know that one of the first things the Nazi government did when they got in the 1930s was ban Shechita because of so-called animal welfare. You can be focused on animal welfare and defocused on human welfare, and Rav Kook was very nervous about that, and therefore he said, now is not the time to be vegetarian, in due course that time will come. However, having said that, many of Rav Kook's key students were vegetarians. Rav Shai Yishuv Cohen, who passed away just a few months ago, was a very strict vegetarian, and many people were inspired by Rav Kook to be vegetarians, because clearly, from what we've seen, vegetarianism has a very positive press in terms of hashkafa. There is actually an interesting comment by Rav Aryeh Kaplan. Rav Aryeh Kaplan wrote a book called The Real Messiah, where he goes, it's basically an anti-missionary book where he talks about how to deal with Christian missionaries. And in the end, he talks about the fact that as we get closer to Mashiach, we'll get closer and closer to the original state of Gan Eden. And the things that happened after Gan Eden, the curses of after Gan Eden, will gradually be taken away. He talks there about a few things. He says, for example, the curse on Chava that she will have extreme pain during childbirth. He says, we've already seen in the 20th century a revolution in childbirth pain relief in a way that women could only have dreamed of before. Don't take it from me, I've never had a baby. But I know that it's certainly, there are options that are available today that were never available then. He talks about Bezeyat HaPech HaTochel Lechem, that it used to be that to produce one loaf of bread, and how edible was it anyway, you had to work and toil and plant and reap and thresh and grind and all of those things. No, you just pull it off a shelf. Pull it off a shelf. Bread grows on shelves in supermarkets. He says that Bezeyat HaPech HaTochel Lechem is gradually drifting away. He says also of the equality between the genders, between men and women, between the sexes. That was a curse on Chava, that she would be subordinate to Adam. That was not the way it was meant to be. There wasn't meant to be any difference in the way that the genders related to the world and to each other. And therefore he says that movement in the 20th century is also indicative of a return towards a state of Gan Eden. Interestingly, that's a bit of a controversial one. The same might be said, Rav Aryeh Kaplan, the same might be said of vegetarianism, but we're certainly not there yet. Peter Singer, who did a lot for animal welfare in the 1970s and 80s, he's a professor of bioethics at Princeton University. He's a very controversial figure, and he likes to be a controversial figure. In fairness, 98% of what he said is not really controversial at all, but he came up with some very, very interesting positions as a bioethical, you know, guide, an advisor. For example, he really doesn't believe that there are any differences between people and animals, to the point that he said that if you're a conscious animal, an animal which is conscious is on a higher level, as far as he's concerned, than a human being in a coma. He said if you have to do medical experimentation, either on an animal who is sentient or on a human who is comatose, you have to do it on the human who is comatose. Which clearly, I imagine most people here, is very offensive. He also said that he didn't feel there was any real affront to human dignity in human beings and animals marrying each other. As long as you were happy that the animal was happy with the marriage. You have to pick that up somehow. Oh, that is a good question. I'm only raising this not to not to demonize Peter Singer because he's done a lot of very good things for animal welfare, but just to show you where bioethics is holding in certain parts of the world, and that this confusion of people and animals is a very real problem, and Rav Kook was conscious of this, and he was right. Let me just make two comments, and then we'll finish. I'm not going to have time for all of the halachic sources, but they're actually very simple. People who turn around and say, well, you have to eat meat, there's a mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos. No, there is no mitzvah to eat meat on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Onik Shabbos is whatever you like. If you want to eat nut roast and quinoa, then good luck to you. That is Onik Shabbos for you. You don't have to eat meat. That's clear. What about Yom Tov? Isn't there a mitzvah? Ein Simcha, Ella, Babasar, etc.? The answer is no. If you look in the sources I brought, it's really that was only when there were korbanos, the basa shlamim, that was Ein Simcha, Ella, Babasar. Today, we say Ein Simcha, Ella, Bayayin. So there is no chiyuv to eat meat on Yom Tov. There seems to be a chiyuv to drink wine. So that's a different discussion as to how that works. But meat it's a mitzvah, says the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'alacha, to eat meat, because that used to be what the korbanos were, but there's no chiyuv, there's no obligation to eat meat, and therefore you're not breaking any halachas if you choose to be vegetarian or meat on Yom Tov. And even korbanos, you only ever have to eat one kazayis of the korban Pesach. That's your only meat ingestion during the year. You didn't have to eat anything else. And therefore, even if you want to be a vegetarian when Mashiach comes, forget about when Rav Kook says you're going to have vegetarian korbanos. But even before that, it's not necessarily going to be a major life issue. But lots of things here. Clearly, I think that we eat meat today in a way that in the frum world, where it seems that eating meat is a very positive thing for some people, it doesn't seem to be that way in the sources. And therefore, I'm not a vegetarian, I have no intention of becoming a vegetarian, even though I thought it would be easy to persuade my son-in-law not to be a vegetarian. It's proving harder than I thought, or than my daughter thought, okay, but there's still time, they've only been married for 4 months. But nevertheless, it seems that he does have a point, and if you look in the Makaris, vegetarianism gets a very positive press within limits. Next week, please God, we're going to look at the issue of Tzar Bali Chaim and Shechita, and move on from there. Advance notice also, 2 weeks in February, I will not be here, there will be someone else here. February the 4th and February, or not the 4th, the first two Wednesdays of February, I won't be here. I'll clarify that next week, but there are 2 weeks in February and we'll give you further notice. Okay, have a wonderful week.